All right, so I'm going to have to this might sound like shit because apparently my microphone cord got busted, so I had to record this with my phone. Obviously, I wanted to talk about the Stephon Diggs signing here that broke last night. Obviously, an exciting move by the Patriots, which has been an eventful offseason for them. We've had a lot of signings on defense so far. They've really kind of had limited signings on offense outside of Garrett Bradbury, Morgan Moses, a couple of, depth offensive linemen, and Mac Hollins. Really hasn't been much star power coming to the offense. All of it's been on the defense with Milton Williams, Carlton Davis, just to name a few. But obviously last night they make a bit of a splash. They make some waves, signing Stephon Diggs to a 3-year contract worth $69 million, but about 26 of it's guaranteed, so only about a year guaranteed. I love the player. I've always admired the player. I've always thought that he was the type of guy that, balled out on Sunday. He's maybe a little bit of a pain in the ass, a little bit of a diva, as his time in Buffalo may have shown, and his end of his tenure in Minnesota as well. But allegedly, he may have had a come to Jesus moment in Houston. So, and a lot of people have said that he was very big in that locker room with those young receivers, with Tank Dell and, of the such. Hopefully comes here and, is a good Samaritan. I feel like that's the reason why you hire Mike Vrabel, right, as your head coach, is to, if your team inherits someone that may be a potential problem, you can, deal with it from a cultural standpoint. That's kind of what Mike Vrabel was brought in here to do. That was one of the selling points was Vrabel brings a culture. They signed a lot of these, culture guys like Spillane and Williams and Moses. And you kind of wonder like, okay, well, what are we just only going to sign guys that are, of a certain character? What's really the point of, all this culture talk? If, you should be able to handle, if your culture's that good, you should be able to handle having someone that maybe come off as a little bit of a pain in the ass. And Lord and behold, they do. They end up bringing in Stephon Diggs and, coming off a torn ACL, 31 years old, not necessarily, the highest price commodity. And I do feel like that is why they ultimately end up paying Stephon Diggs versus some other guys that were on the board. They passed up on DK Metcalf. They never really materialized a deal for Brandon Ayuk. They didn't try to get Deebo Samuel. They instead go for the guy that is coming off a torn ACL, is in his 30s, because they know that they wouldn't have to commit as much to him, which they didn't. They gave him big money in the total value of the contract, but when you look at the guarantee, it's only a year. At worst, they would burn a year of cash, and still he didn't get that $30 million number that DK Metcalf got, that Brandon Ayuk got. So ultimately, the Patriots again elect for a little bit of the cheaper option. They go for the guy with older, maybe damaged goods. But, I can't fault them for at least signing somebody. They bring in a veteran presence to that receiver room, which desperately felt like they needed it. That really, you had Kendrick Bourne there. That's your most veteran guy. Not a lot of NFL success in that receiver room. So definitely a much needed, I would say, add to have a veteran guy that, is capable of putting up big numbers, has put up big numbers in the past. How much you're going to get out of him, I don't know. He's coming off the torn ACL. There was speculation during his whole free agency that he wasn't going to be around till end of October, beginning of November, maybe even. So, you know, if you were signing him, you're signing him knowing he's going to miss half the season. But Shefty comes out last night and says that there's some optimism that he may be able to ready to go week one, which would be huge. You know, how much he's not going to be able to get any work in camp with Drake May over the summer. That's unfortunate. But if he's able to, you know, spark a jolt early in the season, that could definitely be big for them. Even if just being a decoy, honestly, they just need somebody that at least defenses have to worry about. And, you know, him just being out there should provide enough that a team has to at least respect it. And he did still put up good numbers last year. I believe he was a little under 500 yards in the 8 games he played. I think he had 4 touchdowns. He absolutely torched the Patriots in that one game that they played against him in what was Drake May's debut. But, you know, it's, you know, you're signing a veteran guy, an older guy. You never really know what you're going to get coming off of season-ending injury like he had. If there's any optimism, you could say that Julian Edelman, similar sort of situation, tore his ACL in his 30s, ended up coming back, and the following year wins Super Bowl MVP. A little bit different. Edelman's happened during the preseason. Stephon Diggs happened in the middle of the season, so there's a time frame there that you about, you know, 2 to 3 months that you got to account for. Also, you know, Edelman famously came back, tested positive for PEDs. Would imagine that that probably helped in his recovery. He ended up sitting out 4 games at the start of 2018 because of it. So, you know, not exactly apples to apples, or maybe it could be, but there is a little bit of, you know, just because a guy suffers an injury like that in his 30s, there has been some precedent recently that you can get it back. But yeah, no, I think it's a good ad. Good ad for the Patriots. At least get somebody in the building. At least get someone in the building. That's what they really needed. You know, too many of these guys were turning down the Patriots' offers, and you got to kind of wonder how in the long run, if you want to establish a team that is respectable at the negotiation table, that players want to come to, if all these players are turning you down, or you're not going after players, it's hard to get, you know, allegedly they go after Chris Godwin earlier in the offseason, and he allegedly turns down a boatload of money. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if I totally believe the number that the Patriots were coming in $20 million more than the Buccaneers. I feel like there's some language in that contract that's not being discussed. It was probably up, you know, the key word there is probably it was up to $20 million more. And when you combine incentives and all that jazz. But again, he was another guy that had an injury last year, and, you know, he's a little bit younger than Stephon Diggs, but, you know, another dude that they were kind of hoping to get a good deal on, I would imagine. And, you know, it didn't end up coming to fruition. So, you know, I'm happy they signed the player. I think that they are definitely, it was definitely a value, a good ad for a team in need. They definitely needed a piece to at least make their room look respectable, and give defenses something to worry about, or at least game plan for, because you never know. You never know what could happen. Sorry, somebody just drove by me and it was very awkward. So, you know, just you need somebody on your team that defenses have to game plan for and worry about, and they didn't have that before Stephon Diggs. So having him adds an element that they didn't have last year on offense. And it should at least make them more challenging to play. So, all in all, I like the signing. We'll see how much of production he really actually puts up. I don't think it's going to be like 2007 Randy Moss. But he adds a veteran presence, especially in the red zone. You know, he can still score you some touchdowns. definitely like the signing. Okay, obviously moving on. Tomorrow, opening day, we got the Red Sox back in action. They're playing a 4-game set to start the season against Texas. Plenty of optimism, I think, to be had about the Red Sox this year. You know, you look at their team is definitely constructed more to win now than it has been in the past. I think that fans have really easily tuned out the Sox the past few years. Specifically, I would say the last three last three, 2024, 23, 22. I can say that this is the most excited I've been for baseball since they went to that American League Championship Series back in 2021. It feels like they actually have a little bit of a competitive product now. The team is built to go to the playoffs. They should go to the playoffs. You know, they bring in a legitimate ace in Garrett Crochet, who, you know, even though he has only played on a bad team and has some injury concerns, you do have to, you know, respect that he's a 25-year-old and, you know, he could be a Cy Young candidate if all things go well. Legitimate threat to win the Cy Young. He may be the best pitcher, starting pitcher in the American League East when you consider everything. They bring in Walker Buehler, who, you know, little bit of a bargain there. You know, a guy that's had some injury concerns the past couple years. When he's on, though, I mean, he's on. He was really good in the postseason. Has definitely had some success in the past. But, again, a little bit of an injury concern there. They sign Alex Bregman to a deal. Probably going to end up playing third base. It seems like that's going to be the case. So, moving Devers to DH with Christian Campbell coming up, that's definitely in the cards. I mean, I think that they have a decent, you know, this is probably the best team that they've fielded in a few years, so, you know, they should be in the playoff hunt. They should be content. They should be in the playoffs, really. I mean, anything less should really kind of be a disappointing season. You look at the rest of the American League East, Toronto, little bit of a mess. Tampa is not as good as they've been in years past. The Yankees have a few injuries on their team that have already sort of debilitated them a little bit, even though they are still the favorites to come out of the East. The Orioles have had a little bit of injury problems with, their best pitcher. So yeah, you know, it's an opportunity for the Sox to get back to the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see how that whole situation with Devers works out. It's been a headache all through spring training. Rafi Devers obviously doesn't want to play DH. He wants to play in the field. A little bit of weird because he's already gotten paid his big money contract. I don't really see what the issue is. It seems to be a little bit ego-driven. Who knows? But with Christian Campbell being told that he's going to make the roster, you have to imagine he's going to play at second base at some point. Bregman's going to move over to the third. That's going to put Rafi Devers in a situation where he's going to have to hit DH. So that's a little bit of something to, you know, look for this year, see if that turns into a whole debacle. Always with the Red Sox, even when they're good, there's just a little bit of dysfunction, just a little bit. So I'm looking forward to baseball this year. You know, it's been a little while. At least it feels like we're going to have a baseball season to talk about. So, you know, here's hoping that they get off to a good start. I think it is important that it's always important for them to get off to a good start, or else they sort of lose the fan base really quick with, you know, the Celtics postseason coming around the corner. But yeah, no, I think it would be really big for them to get off to a good start. And, you know, they are set up with a little bit of a hard landing here. They're playing Texas and Baltimore right out of the gate, on the road, 7 games to start out the year. But sometimes that may be a good thing. At least it gets them away from Fenway. It gets them away from the fans. They can just stay on the road with each other. They don't have to hear it from the Boston media right away if they were to lose, if they, you know, start off slow. So, you know, it'll be an interesting, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they fare in the American League East this year. Like I said, given the injuries to the Yankees, potentially opening up a window where, you know, they could compete for that division title. Also, just wanted to touch on the obvious situation that happened with the Bruins the other night. The Bruins feel like they have hit rock bottom, and I can tell you that because they lose on Saturday night to the worst team in the league, the San Jose Sharks, 3-1. And then the following night, I didn't even know the game was on. That tells you how out of touch I, that tells you when you're starting to lose me, that's when you really know how bad you are. But they lose, they get stomped in 7-2 by the LA Kings, who are a good team. Swayman has a moment there where Murat Husnadinov runs into Darcy Kemper at the other end of the ice. Kemper gives him a little shove. The Kings goaltender, and Swayman comes out of his net to challenge him. Swayman and Kemper look like they're about to go. The refs, who, you know, have to interject themselves in here. Obviously, the league has decided that they don't want any views. They don't want, you know, for whatever reason, they've decided that goaltenders are not allowed to fight. It's been a few years now where there's been a couple times where goaltenders have had a chance to fight and the league, the refs step in the middle of it. So it's obvious there's an agenda for the officials to get involved whenever two goaltenders start throwing down. But so Swayman throws his helmet down, throws the pad and the glove down, and he's ready to go. The officials stopped him. Kemper didn't even really get the chance to get his mask off. But after the game, Nikita Zadorov gets asked, you know, how he felt about, you know, Swayman. If there was a sense of respect given to Swayman from the locker room because he comes out and defends Husnadinov. And Zadorov gives a very weird answer where he says, oh, is that what that was? Is, you know, no comment. I took it as like, you know, there seems to be tension in that room. Obviously, with the way that the year has gone, the fact that multiple guys have been traded now, I took it as there's a lot of tension in that room. And I think, fairly or unfairly, I think a lot of it has been thrown on Swayman. This is now the third time, I think, this year that somebody has had the chance to prop up Jeremy Swayman and chose to not do it. There was an instance earlier in the year where they got smacked around by Vancouver, I think it was, and Marchand got asked if, you know, I believe the quote was, you know, if where does, you know, Swayman fall in the blame, or, you know, it was something along the lines of like, as captain, you know, how do you feel, you know, your goaltender, how much blame do you feel the goaltender? Do you feel like, you know, you guys need to play better in front of him? And 10 times out of 10, any captain is going to say, you know, it's not on him. It's, you know, that we need to play better in front of him. And Marchand kind of included him in the blame. It was definitely a weird comment back then from Marchand. Obviously, there was that comment that Marchand had made about, you know, his contract. He didn't want to make his contract public after Swayman had a very public negotiation with the Bruins during the offseason. And then now Zadorov comes out with a very weird reaction to a question about Swayman defending his team. And it's just things are starting to add. There's definitely something going on in that locker room for obvious reasons. They are, you know, pissed about how the year has gone on. I wonder if there's, like I said, if there's beef between Swayman and guys on the team. Are guys on the team upset that he held out a training camp, basically didn't show up until what I believe was the Monday before they played? They played like a few days later. he missed that opener famously, infamously, I should say. You wonder if, you know, guys are holding the way that the year started and is just sort of, you know, snowballed downhill against Jeremy Swayman, which, like I said, fairly or unfairly, it makes you wonder. You know, usually you would think that guys want their teammates to get paid as much money as possible. It seems like there may be something there with guys are upset that, you know, Cam Neely did say that press conference in the middle of training camp, you know, oh, he'd have 64 million reasons. I can think of 64 million reasons why he'd play, obviously alluding to that the Bruins had offered $64 million over 8 years. He ends up taking 66. Is there some guys in that locker room that are like, you know, you went through all this hoopla and all this nonsense and missing camp and, you know, missing time with the team to, you know, edge out a couple million dollars out of the team. And you wonder if there's some players that, like I said, yeah, maybe potentially blame him, partially him, for the way that this season's gone. He hasn't played well. You know, he hasn't really done a great job of picking them up when they need. But they haven't played great in front of him, and obviously the roster sucks. So it's not all on him. It's not all on Jeremy Swayman. But if I'm paying a goaltender $8.25 million, I would expect a lot better play. You know, Rask got killed throughout the entire tenure of his contract. And his worst year, he had a .912 save percentage and .248 goals against average. You know, this guy's in the eights, and, you know, so he doesn't really have much of a leg to stand on here. He does deserve some blame. But yeah, definitely just a thing to look forward to. And Zadorov last night clarified his comments yesterday, obviously, as you would probably expect him to do after the shitstorm it caused. And he basically, you know, said that he was a little surprised by the question and that they had just gotten pummeled and that it was a little bit of an answer that, you know, he didn't really give much thought. I don't know if I believe him. I don't know if I believe the sincerity of it. I have a feeling that it's that, you know, his true feelings may have came out in that first answer. And, you know, now he was kind of backtracking. I'm sure the team had some discussion with him. He's a very direct guy. He's always kind of been, he's, you know, had a few quotes in the media throughout his career. I feel like he says the way how he feels and he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So I think he let one slip out and yeah, maybe have created a little bit of an awkward moment in that locker room. But, you know, hopefully going forward, obviously this year is a lost season and, you know, they're falling down the league standings quite fast. Hopefully they're able to, you know, not be in a situation next year where they got to completely blow the whole thing up. And hopefully they can sort of fix this on the fly and get some talented players in here with these assets that they've acquired, whether that's through the draft, whether that's trading for players. They do have a lot of salary cap space. Obviously, free agency is not sort of the way you want to build a team in the NHL with the hard cap. But, you know, definitely does suck that this has been a complete lost season and that the only interesting thing that's come up is the defenseman getting short with the reporter over whether the goalie was justified in defending his teammates. So that's just the state of the Boston Bruins, and I'm going to exit off this. Hopefully the sound quality is not shitty, but take care, guys.